Hello, Mila. I hope
Hello.
you're well. So the aim of this interview is just to mostly know about your job and to also know about your school and the way you teach in Finland, so I can basically get idea for my own classes. So maybe very quickly, you can maybe introduce yourself and tell me who you are and what you're teaching.
Yes. Okay. So my name is Mila Greenari, and I'm a Finnish teacher. So I teach Finnish language and literature, and also I teach Finnish as a second language, and some media studies as well.
Okay.
And I teach in sort of high school. The system in Finland goes so that students. Go first for 9 years. I mean, everybody in Finland goes to school 9 years, and then after that, you can choose whether you take the three sort of like high school or lyceum years.
Mm-hmm.
And I teach there the three last ones. And so my students are from 16 to 19 years old, and I have been teaching quite many years already. Actually, not 19 years.
Yeah, so, like me. Just like
yeah,
thing we studied
and then I have been in the same school all the time because I think our school is very good,
right.
and I have sort of like really the atmosphere there has been so good that I haven't got any need to change my school where I teach.
And it's a public school, yeah.
Yes, it is public school.
So you're saying that the students go for 3 years in high school with you?
Yes.
What about the other one who don't want to go to high school? What do they do?
Okay, so they can go to sort of like I'm not sure about the term in English, but it's sort of like a school where you can get some profession, you know,
yeah,
like
vocational.
Make or a hairdresser or this
yeah.
kind of stuff.
Okay, and this is also 3 years?
Yes, it depends. It can be 2 or 3 years, but mostly I think 3 years.
And what would most Finnish people do? Would they mostly go to high school or vocational? Do you know roughly the numbers in Finland?
Yeah, it's almost 50-50.
Okay.
I think that maybe a little bit more than 50% go to high school. But sort of like last 10 years, it has been so that the other schools have been, you know, that there have been more students who want to go to study profession because
really?
Then you, yeah, because they think that they, it's, you know, sort of like a straighter way to get paid and to get salary and that kind of stuff.
Okay. So it's getting better. And do you have an exam to get into the high school, or is that just because people want to go into a high school or want to go in vocational?
Sorry, can you ask again?
Do you have to pass an exam to go in the high school or the vocational?
No. You don't have to pass exact exam, but you have to have your numbers have to be good enough
okay,
to pass.
Great. Basically,
yeah.
Grade.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay, and so you're selected on your grade. Okay.
Yeah.
And but would your parents be happy if you went into the like the program where you learn a job or? Would
yeah. Well, it depends. It depends from your parents, I
right.
think, and it's sort of like that. Well, you know, very often it goes so that those parents who are well educated by themselves, so they're. Their kids attend to go to high school, and then so sort of like that. This is one of the questions that is it a good idea that our society is sort of like parted in two groups in that sense? Because
right.
if you go to high school, then your doors are open to go to university or other sort of like higher education places.
Right.
So. It's a difficult question.
No, I know. We have some issues like this in France.
Cool.
If we go to the second topic, which is the school organization, can you maybe explain how your school is organized? I mean, do you have like a headmaster? Do you have like an head of your department? Or how does your school work?
Right. Okay. So our high school is actually biggest in Finland, and we have like 1,200 students.
Wow.
And so we have a headmaster, or principal, how do you want to call him?
Yep.
And he's sort of like in charge of everything, but then we have lots of independence, we teachers. We can sort of like do our jobs as we want to do it, because in Finland it's very important that teachers are sort of like trusted, and they can work independently, and there is sort of like no one checking that we are doing the right thing, mm-hmm. in a way. So headmaster, yes, but then we are just teachers and equal to each other.
So there's no head of department, there's no head of languages?
No.
Okay, but do you work in team with your colleague, or do you work on your own?
Mostly our own, but of course it depends from the colleagues. For example,
right, okay.
Because we have we have a room where we teachers can spend our time, you know, between the lessons. It's not really teachers' room, it's a room where we can work.
Right.
So I share it with three of my colleagues, and they all teach either Finnish or Finnish as a second language or media studies. So we of course cooperate quite a lot, and we discuss about our teaching and that kind of stuff.
Okay, but it's up to you.
Yeah, it's up to us how we want to do it.
And how many students do you have in a class on average? I mean, is it more likely 15,
yeah.
25, 35?
Yeah, well, quite a lot. Sort of like the really basic normal courses, there are over 30 all the time. So there might be 36 students in one group. But then again, we have other kind of courses which may have only like 13 students. So
okay.
It really varies a lot.
Yeah, I understand. It's the same for us then.
Yeah.
And a normal school day for the students would be from, like, what time would they start in the morning, what time would they finish it? That's in the afternoon.
Well, this is again a little bit complicated thing. We have a schedule which is sort of like our schedule is divided to 8 different like times.
Period.
So
yeah.
So if you choose course which is in block number 1, so then you will have you will have 3 times a week that same subject,
right.
And then you look from the schedule that when does the number 1 block arrange. So it's sort of like that. That's, for example, that's in Monday morning at 8:30, and then it's Tuesday afternoon and Friday afternoon. And so it depends sort of like which courses you choose and how do you sort of like build your schedule, because students can do that by themselves.
Ah, so they're never really in a class. I mean, you can be
No, it's sort of like that, because they have to do courses during the high school. They they have to do 75 courses during the 3 years of the high school. And then so there are sort of like courses that they have to do, and then courses that they can choose from, and then they sort of like they can build their own schedule quite independently. Not in the beginning, because then we help them, but then when they sort of learn to know the system, so then they can choose by themselves.
So you could do, for example, let's say like science and business and math.
Unfortunately we don't have business classes, but you could if we had.
Okay, but you don't have to follow a trend. There's no like a set of courses.
There are certain amount. There are like 45 courses are strictly sort of said that you have to take these ones, sort of like that you have to have 6 courses of mother language, for example, and then you have to have I think it's 6 or 8 courses of English language and that kind of stuff. But it still keeps you, I mean, you still have space to choose different kind of courses depending what you are interested of.
Okay. So the compulsory classes are compulsory for everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. If I move on to now your classroom and the way you work in your classroom, do you have your own classroom or do you go and teach where the students actually are?
Well, we sort of go where the students are, or sort of like that in the beginning of each period, because we have period system that we have 5 periods during the school year. So it's organized so that certain course is in certain classroom, and we have classrooms where the mother language classes usually are, and so on. And sort of like we also have classes where usually are language courses and mathematical studies and so on. But I'm in very lucky situation that I have almost like my own classroom.
Right.
so because I have my the desks for the students are in group order. So I have asked for that, and that's why I can teach in that classroom, because it's for me that all my group classes are sort of like in groups.
So what do you mean? You mean the tables are?
Yeah, the tables are in four. There are 4 students in one group.
And is it because you wanted to, or is it because most classrooms are organized like this in Finland?
No, it's because I wanted to.
Okay. How would you say most classes are organized in Finland? I mean, is it rows? Is it tables?
I think they are like in pairs and rows. And in our school, most of them are sort of like that. There are parts of them are in 3 people's, like they are in rows, so that there is 3 together and then 2 together and 2 together. But that depends, because some other students, teachers in our school are also having this group organized based things, because our curriculum is changing quite a lot, but we will discuss about that later.
Yes. Okay. So and what about the like computers, tablet, phones?
Yeah.
I mean, what technology do you use?
Yeah, well, we have some computers at school, but not for everybody or anything like that. We have computer classrooms and so on, but now we are really changing, because like I said, that our curriculum is changing. So now all first year students have their own laptop at school. I mean, they have to buy it before they come to school, and then they have to carry that with them all the time. And some of the courses that they are doing are sort of like now electrical. No, that's not
online. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And they have to buy it. It's not like a gift from the school. They have to buy it.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. And this has been a lot where we have had a lot of discussion about this in Finland now, because I think it's not very good in every situation. But of course, if you are really sort of poor, so you can get some support from the state to get the computer, but still it's a complicated thing.
Okay. So and that would be true in every Finnish school, or just in Helsinki, in your school?
I know that in some small places where they have only very few students attending to high school, so they the county can give you the computer for your high school studies, because they want people to stay there, you know, because it happens in Finland that people are moving from small places to bigger towns. So they try to support the high schools there by giving their computers. And I think that's a very good idea, actually.
True. But it means that every single school in Finland will work with students equipped with computers very soon.
Yes. Yes,
that's
true. Yeah.
Okay. So it means that obviously you're going to have to use them.
Yeah, that's true. You know, because our school system goes so that in the end of the high school, we have really big exams called matriculation exams.
Yep.
And now they are changing to be online exams. So this is why this is sort of like process which is going on at the moment.
Okay, so the whole, which will be the baccalaureate, everything will be online, no paper.
Yes, Yes.
No paper. Oh, wow.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I have to tell you that I'm a bit scared about this because not everything is working, you know, perfectly when all the students are starting to use the computer. So I don't know if it will work very well.
So that means also you must have Wi-Fi in the school then.
Exactly, and that is the problem. because we have sort of in like first graders, we have 400 something at the moment. So when they are doing the exams at the same time, so it's really, really, you know, something for the Wi-Fi system. So I don't know if it will work or not.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that'll be in 3 years.
Yeah.
So maybe you can tell me a bit about this new curriculum now.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it?
Yeah. So the new curriculum started this year. So it goes so that the second and third graders are still using the old one, and then the new ones who started this year are using the new one, and so on. So mm-hmm. all the next students. The curriculum changed before this 10 years ago. So I think that actually, if I'm now thinking, so it's changing in each 10 years time.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is my sort of like second time that I have to start with the new curriculum.
Right.
And but this is much more heavier thing than the time before, because now we are changing much more because of this computer-based learning stuff. And also we are trying to sort of like change more and more towards to that students will have to take more responsibility of their learning, so that, you know, that it's not the teacher who is just teaching and then the students are learning, but that they have to work by themselves and then they have to evaluate more themselves. And also we can organize sort of courses which are like between different subjects. And so it's sort of like phenomena based teaching.
Right.
And then also we are doing more and more group works and so on. So these are all the sort of like the big changes now.
Okay, so how you're going to make student work more in a more autonomous way?
I'm not pretty sure yet.
Okay.
But one thing is sort of like that I try to give them sort of that kind of tasks that I don't have the sort of like correct answers or anything like that, that they have to work by themselves to sort of like to sort out the things, and then we can discuss about that later together. And then also we are going to do that kind of stuff that, for example, they can write some stuff together and then evaluate that how did it work and did they learn enough from it and so on. And also basically it is sort of like that they have to try to find the knowledge by themselves, not so that I give it to them, but that they have to think that where to try to find it and how to use it. So that's basically the idea. But like I said, I don't know how well it will work because I have had one course this far. And it was quite many things were quite nice and all right. But then again, because I don't believe that the computers are actually sort of solving all the problems. I think it's more they have to develop their thinking. And for that, I don't think we need actually computers. We need more of the contact of the real people. And that's why I'm sort of in a halfway there thinking that how to do this.
But did you, does that maybe give you more time to work with the weaker students if they're working independently? I mean,
that could be. And actually that's something that I hope that sort of like after this beginning, which is a little bit chaotic. So after that, I hope that I will have time more for the weaker students. Yeah, that would be nice.
So it means that for your first grader, you had to put everything online and they access the, yeah, the information themselves?
Yeah. Well, they have books that are online. So we have, there are tasks and things that they can sort of like figure out that, okay, I have to do this and this and so on. But I think that as a teacher, I have to more think that how do I organize the lessons and how do I organize the works that the students do than what I had to do before, because the thinking really has to change quite a lot.
And it's difficult, absolutely.
It is very difficult, and I'm a bit nervous about it because I wasn't too happy about after the first course. So, yes, I'm still working on it.
Okay, no, I can imagine. And was it really a big need? Did you find that your students were not very autonomous, were not really thinking for themselves before?
No, I didn't think so. It's sort of a the idea comes from somewhere else than from the school, I think.
Right. Okay.
It's sort of a thing that in society there were people thinking that we need more computer-based learning and so on, which is, in a way, it is, of course, true, because the future society probably uses computers all the time for everything.
Yeah.
But still, sort of like that, how to do it, it's not easy thing, because at the moment the young people are sort of like using their phones or computers all the time when they have free time. So I don't know if it's a good idea that then all the time that they are studying they have to use the same thing. So
and for the other one, the second and the third grade, do you normally, or you and your colleague in Finland, do you do like lecture? Or are you more likely working in group work or flipped?
Yeah, more like the group works. I mean, sometimes I can lecture, but it's not very often. It's sort of like mostly I sort of try to explain that what is this task in this lesson, and then they learn or they read maybe a chapter from the book, and then they do some kind of exercises and that kind of stuff. That's the normal thing to do.
And it's not just you, I mean, it's all your colleagues.
Yeah, I think, yeah, mostly it's like this with everybody, all the teachers in Finland, yes.
Okay, and so go ahead.
Yeah, like I said, that I use group work quite a lot. It's sort of like the normal procedure in the lessons that because they are sitting four students are sitting in the same group. So I tell them that, you know, this is the task of this lesson and we are discussing about this and this stuff. And now you have to do this kind of some maybe a small written assignment, or maybe they have to discuss about some topic or something like that. And then they will do that in their group. And then in the end of the lesson, we are listening to what different groups have been thinking of the same thing but from different angles. It differs from the subject.
But then how would you pass on, like, you know, like if you're a math teacher and you've got like a method?
Well, I think math teachers are not using group works very much. That's true. And but then again, if you teach psychology or history or something, they can very often work in groups.
Okay. And so do you sometimes get, flip the classroom where the students would like look at the classes at home?
And yeah, sometimes. I haven't been using it very much because, I mean, I like the idea. But then again, I know the sort of like that the routine has been so that the students don't really do a lot of learning for mother language at home. So it's a bit difficult to get them to sort of like try that they had to read something at home and then try to work at school. It's still sort of like under work that we have to do.
So would you say Finnish students get a lot of homework or not that much?
They do quite a lot of homework. So that's one of the reasons why, at least we in our school, we haven't given them very much homework from other languages. It's usually sort of like that they, for example, because they have to read books, you know, like novels or poems or something. So that's their homework during some courses. And then the other things we are mainly doing at school, because they have to do lots of homework from mathematics or geography or history or that kind of stuff.
And are they doing it? I mean, are they motivated? And where do they find the motivation? Because it's a big issue.
Quite often they are doing. I think more that they are more doing than not doing.
Okay. And what? How do you make your students, or in your school, I mean, what do you think is a motivating factor for them to do homework, to be active in the class? Do you know? Do you have an answer for that? Mm.
Well, yeah. Well, it's when we... Is it evaluate when you give the grades?
How do
you?
Yeah, evaluate, yeah.
Okay, when we evaluate students, so for me, for example, how they attend during the classes is quite big part of the evaluation. So they have to do things during the course. If they are not doing so, it will sort of, they will not get so good grade.
Okay.
And I think that's very often in other subjects as well.
Okay.
That you have to be active. And in math, I know that they are sort of like giving points when they are doing homework. So like maybe 20% or even 30% of the course number can be from those points, from the homework.
Okay, so basically when you're assessing, when you're evaluating, you're not just evaluating the work itself, but like the behavior in class? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, not exactly behavior, but sort of like that, how you attend and how you work. It's
Okay, and so is that like you have like a chart where you can precisely assess, or is that just mostly what you feel?
For me, it's more like I feel, but I know that very many of my colleagues are very systematic, that they put everything down so that they remember well. But we also can have sort of like how do you say, you know, not written assignments, but spoken assignments.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, also group works that they have to sort of like present in front of this class and so on. So I, of course, evaluate them as well.
Okay. And do you have a lot of evaluation? I mean, it is an ongoing process.
Yeah, it's sort of, it's supposed to be sort of like during the whole course all the time that we evaluate the students.
All the time, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
And that's one of the big changes also for the new curriculum, that because in Finnish language, I mean, like in mother language courses, this has been going on all the time, I think. But in some courses, like in math courses, they have had a huge test in the end of the course, and then the students have got their grades from that. And now they have to change because they have to evaluate them during the whole period of the course. So that's also a big change now.
But do you still keep the big test at the end, or you just forget about those?
I don't know how the math teachers are going to do it, but yeah. But I'm usually in the end of the course, I'm having either some quite long written assignment, or then they are having their group works. How do you say? Well, that they have, you know, that they are doing the group works in the front of the school class or something like that. That's usually in the end.
You will just have one big assignment, written assignment, at the end of the period.
But then during the course we have smaller ones.
Okay. And also, I mean, do you differentiate your work according to the level of the students? Because I presume they're not all the same level. Is it something important or not really?
Well, quite often it goes so that we sort of like try to go there in the middle of things.
Okay.
I think, but of course, I try to sort of like take a notice during the course that if some students have difficulties and help those students more.
Okay, but you wouldn't give specific assignment according to the level?
No, okay. We don't do that.
Okay, I
And it's also a little bit difficult for us because, like I said, that students can choose by themselves which courses they are taking at what time of the school year, for example. So I don't know my students in advance. I mean, they can change. So I can have one student in course number one, and then the same student may be in course number five again, or maybe never again. So that's a bit difficult part of being a mother language teacher, because I can't see their development, for example, in their writing. So
yeah, it must be a bit frustrating.
Yes.
To not be able to see their progress. I mean, because
yeah,
how long is a course? I mean, like how many weeks?
Yeah, it's the course is 7 weeks, but the last sort of 1 week and a half of it is sort of like the ending period when you can have tests or whatever you want to do. But
it's, 6 weeks. So
yeah.
6 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, and you have a national curriculum and you know what you have to do during these 6 weeks.
Okay. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, so last thing that I would like to talk about is the professional development. I mean, are you trained regularly in the class, in the school, outside the school maybe?
Yeah, well, we are. We have sort of a, how can you say it? Well, during the school year, we have sort of some topics that we have to discuss more about with with teachers, and we have time for that, you know, like organized time for that. But it's after school; it's not during the school days. And then we can attempt to different kind of courses, depending what you want to learn more. And so, for example, I have been in some computer classes or something like that, because there are lots of things that I have to learn about that. And you can attempt outside of school courses, like at least once a year if you want, and so school pays that. But then you can also study more if you want, but then you don't get the money from the school.
Okay, it's more like because you'd like to work.
Do
you ever work with universities, with people who do research? I mean, do you?
Sometimes. And for example, these computer things, courses that I attempted, they were held by university staff, so it was good.
Okay, all right, okay. So, okay, well, I think that's all. Just to finish, what is your normal week in a school? How many hours do you have to be at school?
No, we don't have anything like that. I have to be a certain amount. It depends from how many courses I have in certain period.
Okay.
For example, now because now we are starting the new period on Thursday, and that I will be having quite a lot of courses, so I have to be at school more. But this period that we just had, I had only two courses, so I was having lots of free time.
So basically, your work is annualized. You have to do a certain amount of work a year, but not a week.
Exactly.
Okay, right. And would you say that most Finnish teachers are happy teachers?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think teachers are sort of like, people are respecting teachers still, which is good. And also, I think that because I'm high school teacher, so that actually is quite good thing, because I know that some people don't appreciate the teachers who are teaching the younger kids.
Yeah.
That I think that they are really doing the big job, so that they should be more respected. But so it goes.
Good. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm going to just write down all the notes and definitely share them with my colleague.
Yeah, okay, good.
Thank you.
And if you need to ask something more, so I mean, feel free if something was sort of like poorly explained or something like that.
No. I mean, mostly I think I've caught everything. So I think
okay.
Great. Thank you, Mila.
Yeah, okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.